You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello there, it's David Baer, and you are listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. And today I have the great pleasure of welcoming on to the podcast Tracy Lamori, who is joining me from the Greater Toronto area, although she spends time throughout North America in normal years, normal times. Tracy is a high-profile international award-winning publicist and the founder and managing director of Lamori Media, which she's also a Universal Women's Network 2020 Woman of Inspiration winner. Yay! And that was specifically for women in media, is that right?
Yeah, I won the Women in Media Award for Women of Inspiration. Yeah.
And you also have a book that's coming up, which I love the title of because it's such a clever name. It's Get Repped. I'm looking at like envisioning a guy on the cover with, you know, with ripped abs and all of that.
And the funny thing is too, they literally, I had no idea that she called me one day. I thought that I'd be picking the title, you know, after the whole book was written. My publisher literally called me when she asked me, Luina Baer at Variety Publishing, she asked me to write the book on PR, literally, because I've been the publicist for her previous book, The 30% Solution, about how civility in business actually has a 30% difference on your bottom line, about customer retention and employee retention and that kind of thing. We'd made that a business bestseller, so she asked me to write the book on PR. So anyway, she called me one day, literally, and said, we're putting, you know, the title mock-ups together. Can you send me the title of the book? And I'm like, title? I had literally not even thought about that. I wrote my first chapter. And she's like, well, I'd like it, you know, by the end of the day. And I'm like, and then literally it just came to me just like that. I was like, get wrapped.
I love it.
I was like, I like it. It seemed like a hashtag. It seemed like, and then I put the build your brand, you know, with effective public and media relations to explain what that means. But it also talks, it's not just selling out, getting a publicist. It also talks about when you should get a publicist. Do you need a publicist? Why might you need a publicist? Are there things that you can do, you know, that we do that, you know, without, like if you're early on, are there things you can do it yourself? If you are going it alone, what are some things to do and not to do? And then what are some reasons that you should look at a publicist? And if you are, what do you look for? Like, what should your publicist do? And, you know, how do you know you've got the right one for your project and that kind of stuff?
And so this is a book that is in the making right now.
Yeah, so, I'm working on some things I wanted to add that came up during watching people during this whole year of COVID and how they dealt with the socials and that kind of thing.
So we have the opportunity to look forward to finding it. When do you think people can start looking for it?
Early summer, I'm thinking.
Excellent. Early summer 2021. So I'm looking forward to getting into that, particularly after that explanation of what's in there. You talked a little bit about the idea of getting the title beforehand, and for those of us who are in like the direct response copywriting world, you almost always are doing the headline for a sales letter at the very end after you figure out, you know, what is this content all about. So it's pretty amazing that she asked you, you know, for the
title. Yeah, well, great. You know, when I do a press release, that's the final thing I do that wraps it all up.
Yeah,
so I'm like, whoa. But I think, and I, you know, but I haven't regretted it. It's just I thought of it, and everybody responds well to it. Only one person was ever like, get. What does this mean? And I was like, I don't think you're the audience for it.
And that's a really good point, knowing the audience, right? So that matters. I want to talk a little bit today about what role press coverage and public relations in general plays in the world of small business. You work with a lot of entertainment industry folks. You also work with experts and other, you know, influencers as well. For a typical small business, let's say, you know, an expert in the financial world or in dentistry or, you know, a chiropractor, What is the role of public relations in those types of businesses?
Absolutely. And that's a good 40% of, and increasingly, the more I do, because I've done 180 podcasts speaking to entrepreneur audiences and small business audiences. So increasingly, a lot of my business is that small business person. And people are often surprised. They think, like you said, they think all PR is for entertainment, which I definitely also do. I work with filmmakers and authors and actors and musicians, but about 40% and increasing is that small business person. And that's everything right now. If I look at my client list, from a luxury real estate agent to a personal chef to a woman who owns a forensics crime examination firm, right, to a PI, to a guy who owns a company in the UK that helps educate kids during COVID with like thousands of primary schools signed up to it, to a company called Hibnb that's an alternative to Airbnb for the cannabis market, which is getting major funding now. It's not just a little thing. It's been winning. It won a disruptor and innovator award in the UK, which is not cannabis friendly, just for short-term rentals and, and disruption. Anyway, so all kinds of different things. And finance people I've certainly worked with in the past. I work as well. Everybody, if you're an expert to the point where you can take money for what you do and you have a business, then you know you can segue that exact expertise into media attention. There's the one side is the press releases that everyone's familiar with. The other side is publicists find opportunities because we're directly connected to the pipeline of all kinds of different sources that tell us where reporters are looking for sources, meaning people to quote in their story. Whether you know Reader's Digest with a deadline at 5 p.m. on Thursday is looking to speak to financial experts who can talk about how people have dealt with COVID, is looking to speak with, and some things are really specific and they're looking for credentialed people, and other ones are just more if you can, they're even just looking for people to talk about their experiences. So anytime you read a magazine or a newspaper and they talk to Bob who owns whatever or Samuel or whatever, how did they find that person? They either wrote a press release and that's where they got interviewed, or the media was looking through these various things. They're not knocking on doors, calling every real estate agent in the book to get a quote, because they're looking for somebody who's media friendly, who knows how to give a good quote, who understands editorial versus advertorial, which is something we should talk about. It's a huge something that marketing people in particular, obviously, were trained for the advertorial, to talk about the brand, to talk about why our client's brand is better than the other brand. And that's what most small business people know how to do as well. But that's not what what's going to get you in the newsroom. That's what's going to get the editor to direct you to the ad department, because their business is too, and they know you're just looking for, you know, a place, free advertising, and how valuable that is.
By the way, that was gold, what you just said, is, you know, because it's all about positioning, not just positioning your business, but positioning your authority. And so the world that you work in, the end of the marketing world that you work in, is really, and I hope we'll dive into this in a moment, being prepared to represent your expertise differently from representing your business and what you can do for people. And that's exactly, that's something that I hope people listen to.
And yeah, you know, I make that really clear, like, because we exactly, I mentioned just a minute ago, the little examples where a reporter will be looking for a story. So I had a new client the other day, and I found a perfect opportunity for them to be quoted to their expertise in a major media. I can't remember what the major media was, but I said, oh, here, answer this question. And it was something like, I don't want to give an example of what the actual company was, but it was something like, say they were a lawn care company. Okay. And this thing was something about, hey, can you talk about some things that people are doing this year for their lawns, or some suggestions for lawn care? And so the answer he gave me wasn't even something I could edit to make submittable, because literally the whole paragraph was about, oh, people are having trouble this year with this and this in their lawn. The solution is to contact whatever, whatever company, because we're really good and we give all the best and we take care of all your lawn care needs. And I'm like, okay, this is a major magazine like Reader's Digest or something. It wasn't Reader's Digest, but something like that, or The List or Oprah or whatever. No, they're not going to quote an expert saying, they're not going to have an article. Think about what you read about, you know, how to care for your lawn this summer. And all of a sudden they're going to quote an expert and say, oh, by the way, this is all too hard anyway. You know what's really good? Contact me. I'm Bob the lawn care guy. No, that's an ad. And he didn't understand. He was like, oh, can you edit it? I'm like, no, because I'm not a lawn care expert. Again, you need to submit. I can edit everything, but here you need to, I can call you, you can tell me, but what we need is a point of you as an expert saying, hey, rhododendrons, you know, or tulips are really popular this year. And here's what you can do at home. If you like tulips, go get yourself a seed and plant them and, you know, make sure to group them with whatever, whatever, says Bob from Bob's Lawn Care, bobslawncare.com. So you're still going to get that mention of your company, that backlink, that, you know, whatever, but it's not what's coming out of your mouth is your expertise. And then your company or your book or whatever you're selling is mentioned briefly as, you know, your calling card. That's why you're the expert. But then when someone searches your name, they find that credibility is way better than you, even if you were allowed to take that moment to speak about an ad for your company. It's way better that you are able to be quoted as an expert, as an authority.
That's a great example. And I think that hopefully nobody having heard that is going to make that mistake.
It's hard though. You got to really train yourself. You know,
I'm going to assume, because I know this is something that you do with your clients, is that working with a good publicist, they're going to train you to give the right kinds of answers.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to tell you what works, what doesn't, and, you know, and also just support you to understand, like a lot of times I don't have to give them the words, you know, I'll just maybe tell them, hey, no, that's not what they're looking for. It's that other thing you said that they're looking for, because you're already an expert in your field, you know, and also people really need to see themselves as experts and know there, because there are absolutely opportunities. I see, you know, when I meet any expert, I'm like, gee, why aren't you getting quoted about that? They're like, how do you, and you know, they just have a huge blank spot. But to me, I see like an assembly line of all these opportunities that they're missing, free opportunities to build their, another example is me. I literally built my brand from 9 years ago as a freelancer. I did not go to school for PR. I had previous experience from life and some advocacy work I'd done for years where my messaging had been crazy successful. But initially I learned how to do it 20 years ago on my own, never thinking of it as a job, for advocacy work. Was hugely successful on an international level, getting that messaging out just, you know, on my own. And then when I started to put a shingle out and started to do it as a freelancer and then as a small business person and then more recently as a corporation, you know, I didn't go to school for all that. I literally just learned how to do it. So, you know, you can learn how to do it too. And this is why I like to talk to marketing people, because I came from a sales background, not expert level, not even middle management, in my 20s when I started learning media messaging. So I had more of a marketing, like an entry level marketing or sales mind. I wasn't trained in PR, but it's the same end goal. Like you said, they're cousins. You know, we work for a client with the same end goal. The only difference really is marketing and people think marketing and sales are the same too. And marketing and sales aren't the same, right?
Not at all. Yep.
Exactly. But if you don't know the business, people think, oh yeah, same with marketing and PR. They relate to each other and they complement each other. Mm-hmm. And if you have a marketing department, I definitely want to talk to them so I could support what they're doing and their messaging, and they can support mine and all that. But it's, you know, but a marketing person can easily get their head, because they work with words and communications and the same end goal around this kind of stuff. So you can absolutely use tools from the publicist's tool belt, you know, like I say, to build your own brand, which, like I was saying, you know, your own brand so that you can service more people and to help build your client brands in other ways. But like, I mean, as an expert, where you can speak as a finance expert or a marketing expert, in literally the 9 years from being a freelancer with no education and all that, I've now been on, like I said, almost over 180 podcasts, panel, probably 200 by now, panels, TV, radio. Now, not just doing PR like I was doing for 9 years, but now educating people about why they need PR, how to do it, even about entrepreneurship, about leadership, about authenticity. So now I have like a second career that I didn't even mean to, talking about the first one, educating about the first one, which I never even went to school for. So it's amazing what you can build. And that's just by putting an hour a day, putting yourself out there, pitching yourself to podcasts. If you're not a talker, maybe you're more of a writer and you can write articles, throw them up on Medium, because anybody can, you know, get an account and write a Medium article as easy as you can make a Facebook page. And these are the ways you start developing your thought leadership.
It's brilliant. I want to sort of let's pull the lens back. Is that the right film term? To do a wide shot here around marketing and sales and public relations and how they all contribute to a business's growth. And what the strategic, you know, sort of overarching process is or goal is, system is for a business, and what place public relations plays in it. You mentioned this. I'll just make this one more point, which is that complementing each other, right? So you got marketing, you got sales, and you got public relations. I'm constantly working with clients around an approach to marketing, which I hammer into them, which is direct response. We're trying to get an outcome from people. Let's put an opportunity directly in front of them that they can say yes to. And PR, to a certain extent, is a little bit broader than that. It's it often is closer to branding, like the example you gave earlier of the lawn care guy, right? Bob isn't saying, come to my website, click on this link, and, you know, order my services. He's simply saying, I'm gonna demonstrate publicly that I'm an expert. You've seen that. Oh, and by the way, you might happen to notice there's a link to my website, after that sentence, with the
citation. What you just said is so perfect, because it even just made it even clearer in my mind about the connection. Because a lot of times, I was about to say, and then you said something even that made me even want to expand on that, because I was going to say the connection that a lot of people have between sales, or that they think between sales and / marketing, which they're already confused about, and then how the PR component plays into it. I have to tell them, and they're almost like, oh, like almost surprised to hear me say it. But I'm like, ultimately, it's not my job. I don't care. It's not that I don't care, but like in terms of I care about my client's outcome. But I mean, I in terms of my goal and my job, my box, right? And I often go outside my box in different people. My primary job, though, for the client, is to get you media attention, to build your third-party credibility, so that when you open your mouth to sell or whatever you do, that has more gravitas and power. So my job isn't to sell your books, and the measure of my success isn't, though very often you will sell more books or more whatever, but to me that doesn't matter. In terms of the measure of my success is not how many books you sell or how many widgets you sell or how many new customers you get. That's the measure of marketing or sales success, right? But they work together, and I'll talk about how brilliantly in a minute. The measure of my success is that third-party media attention that you do not pay for, that cannot be bought, that is earned media, where you are an expert. So when there's people search your name, there's a million other places, or 10 other, 5 other strong, good housekeeping, whatever, high-profile places that are credible, that make you credible, so that when you speak to sales or whatever, it's like, ooh, I've seen it. Ooh, wow, that's, he's obviously, they wouldn't have put him in there because they don't. If somebody hadn't been convinced that you were an expert above others in your field and worthy of speaking to you and having that knowledge. So that gravitas is just huge. And then you said, but then what you said, because when I say where my limitation is, it's not my job then to sell. So somebody has to, and sometimes I do take on that role to help the client. How do you take all this media you've got now, and other than the people who just called you because they saw it, because that's going to end after the week or whatever, right? How do you expand on that? Obviously, you put it in your bio, you build on it. I'll build on it from a PR perspective to get you more media. But how do you, then you got to go to your marketing department and get them to give you an ask. Because now if I'm sending them to your webpage, because I make it, even if it's, they search your name and then they go and search your name, they see you in an article, even if there's no link, and then they go search your name, which they do, or there's a direct link or whatever. When they go to your link, now it's the marketing department's job for there to be a strong ask, they're a strong, now download this or do this or buy this or whatever. So they're not just going, oh, that's interesting information. But now you grab them and hook them and bring them into, your funnel, whatever you guys do to build that client's marketing base, right?
Absolutely. I was on a webinar the other day, and we asked the question, of the audience, what is the one major thing that most small businesses are missing on their website? And the answer we were after and ultimately got from some wise person in the audience was lead capture, right? The ability to capture it, that person's contact information so you can follow up with them. And that's exactly what you're alluding to, is after you have done your magic, getting them the publicity, the high profile representation of their business, people are going to say, oh, I want to know more. They'll go to the website. And if you don't have something in place to be able to then move the needle forward, right? Move that process forward with that prospect, you're missing out on a huge opportunity.
And then they may not see, oh, gee, I was there. And I've heard people say, oh, wow, you know, I don't know if I should get a publicist, you know, when I'm talking about when they're prospecting and not talking to me. They're like, I tried PR once and they actually got me in the New York Times and it was good for a week, but then nothing happened. I'm like, what did you do? You stopped working with them. You didn't build it. You need to give your publicist that has to build on that, because now that's gold. They can, you know, if I had something like that, you know, I'd have it in everything the next week, you know. And then also the like you said, to get the cash money out of it, because you don't get paid to be in the New York Times. You don't get paid to be quoted in these. It's earned media in both senses. They don't pay you. You're providing information. You're not paid for it either, because that's not to be bought. You know, it's different if you're on some TV will pay, like a reality TV or like whole, you know, if you're an expert, there's some things that will pay.
There's an honorarium or something.
Yeah. But most things, when you're talking about, you know, appearance in the news or being quoted in whatever, but you're not getting paid for that. That's a giant value that you need to build. It's a huge monetary value too, but you just need to build it and create that, right? Whether it's in your speaking engagements or, you know, book, you write a book and now you can say, as seen, read in, you know, whatever, in a scene in Time magazine.
Well, there's a whole other discussion we can have about how to leverage your media appearances in lots of different ways. We're short on time, but I did want to sort of find out, when you're working with a client, you know, you have the ability to get a lot of attention, a lot of traffic coming their way, whether it's their phone ringing, their calendar filling up, people coming to their website, people coming into their place of business. What do you recommend a business does to prepare in advance of media appearances for what, you know, the outcome might be?
Also, number one, be prepared for more media, because there are times when, you know, you can just do one and then it doesn't just necessarily mushroom, but quite often you do one, then all of a sudden another media person hears it in a hot topic. The next thing you know, your phone's ringing off the hook. You're in 200 newspapers because you've been in Associated Press or something, and three, all of a sudden you're doing like some kind of, you're like a celebrity on that issue for 3 days. So yeah, be prepared. And sometimes you have to, then you're not so planned and you're having to respond quickly. So make sure you really do know your stuff and know what you want to say and don't get off track and don't get thrown off into a place you don't want to go if things get fast and furious from a media perspective. But in terms of your business, be prepared to have more business. Like, how do you manage your time right now? Do you have that flow? And you know, this is something I've had to really be strict with myself about, is how to manage your incoming and your existing business and your prospects and all that. So make sure that you have, if you're a solopreneur, it's particularly challenging. Maybe you need to think about having a part-timer that you could have on call, at least to help you admin, not to duplicate your work, but at least to admin, to help you admin with, you know, scheduling clients or schedule whatever it is that you do. So yeah, be prepared that, you know, it can have a big impact on your business. I had one client where she did a 15-minute, or I guess it was a half an hour radio spot, reporter interviewed her for 15 minutes, and then she was taking calls on her on air, and then, you know, 10 calls or whatever, that when the thing was done, the reporter said, oh, and you can always call her, you know, to answer your questions, of course, to get paid. And she at that time was charging $100 an hour. And she told me just in the first week, I don't know how many calls, she never told me the number, but she's like, my phone has been ringing off the hook. She was shot, and that was, you know, at $100 an hour calls. So she was just doing them all like crazy. And I found out years later, because, you know, I'd moved and I'd stopped doing a lot of the social media part that I was doing for her. And a whole bunch of different reasons. Anyway, I moved and I hadn't been working with her for a while. My daughter asked a while ago, what was the name of that, you know, person that you worked with? And I went and I Googled her, and you know what? It had on her page that she had a recent appearance within the last year on that same show, Late Night with Barb DeGulo, who had loved her 5 years ago when I put her on. So she has an ongoing existing relationship with them where like once a year or so, they'll call her on as their regular, you know, pet psychic or whatever.
That's awesome. And right? And going into this, you don't know what you're going to get out of it. You know, I assume that there's some duds along the way, but for the most part, you're going to leverage each appearance, print or you know, broadcast into something. It's going to parlay into something else, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, I can get, but if I take someone on, I know I can get stuff for them. I mean, you never know at first. Sometimes the things you think are going to be awesome, high profile, and the media is going to freak out for, and then there's like crickets, and you're like, what? And then you have to go to, you know, a second angle, and you eventually get something, because I have so many relationships with different editors and different stages and different kind of things that can always get something to build on, a nice profile here or something here, you know, something to build on if it's not the immediate thing. But it's funny how, yeah, sometimes you think the thing that you think is going to be really hot, and then no one picks up on, and you're like, I don't get it. Like, I can't understand that. And then the next one you're putting out thinking, no, this is good, but, you know, meh, it might get something. All of a sudden, you wake up, there's like five. I'd love to be your client. You're like, okay. So sometimes there's no, it's not always what you think. Like, you think whether it's something's important or whether you think something, like, it really, it could be the media has their own, you know, you don't know.
and I would add that is true in pretty much every end of marketing as well. You might think that you have a killer ad or a killer sales letter or a killer video, and you're so excited, and then it just falls flat, or vice versa.
But yeah.
Hey, Tracy, thank you so very much for making some time to chat with me. I know from the brief time we've had together that we could go on and on on a bunch of different topics here. So we'll have to get together again. But for folks who would like to learn more about you, where can they best find you?
Yeah, absolutely. And if any of this is of value and they want to hear more, then I do work internationally. I'm also like anywhere where they speak English, I can do English language media. So yeah, I'm happy to do a free consult if anybody's interested in hearing like what, you know, anyone in media. I'm pretty sure that I can get anyone in media. So we'll talk and I'll show you what I'm talking about. So yeah, you can find me at lamorimedia.com. On Instagram, Tracy Lamori PR Media. LinkedIn is a great place to connect, Tracy Lamori. And yeah, I guess that was it.
Those are three great places. So Tracy Lamori, thank you so much for joining me here on More Perfect Marketing. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, David.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.